News Services Division of Akashwani presents Northeast Diary.
Good evening. Welcome to this edition of Northeast Diary. As we explore the northeastern part of India, it gets intriguing to know about it in each episode. Let me tell you about the excitement in today's episode. Today, we bring you an exclusive peek into the heart of Assam, the land of blue hills and red river. Known for its lush landscapes and vibrant colors, Assam is a melting pot of history and diversity. Our special correspondent, Regina S. Nair, shares her captivating experiences from this stunning northeastern gem. We'll also give you a sneak preview of the fifth edition of the Brillante Piano Festival, but for now, let's explore the customs and culture of the Sangtam tribe of Nagaland. The Sangtams are an indigenous Naga ethnic group, primarily residing in the Kifere and Swansang districts of Nagaland. Known for its practice of shifting cultivation or jhum, the Sangtams are one of the most vibrant and colorful tribes in the region. This vibrancy is reflected in their rich cultural celebrations, which include 12 distinct festivals such as Mongbong, deeply rooted in their traditional practices. Let's delve into their customs and culture.
Kifere is a district headquarter in Nagaland. Is inhabited by the Sangtam, one of the major tribes in Nagaland. During the 1870-1880s, the British survey team led by Woodrop first entered the northern Sangtam tribe. When the Britishers asked the people about their tribe, they replied that they are the people who migrated from Sangdang, which was their ancestral village. Thus, the word Sangdang was interpreted as Sangtam by the Britishers.
My name is Lima Songwa. I belong to the Sangtam community.
As per 2011 census, the population of our community, 85,000, our Sangtam community, it belongs to the eastern part of Nagaland.
I think basically in every major part in Naga, everyone has the similarity. But there are some distinct features belonging to each and every tribe. So for our Sangtam community, which we can distinguish ourselves, that will be economically we are as backward. In the real sense, it's not a backward, but we are less fortunate. So infrastructurally, we have been underprivileged. Educationally, we have been underprivileged. So that will be one distinct feature.
As per the oral history, it may be mentioned that the name Sangdang village was derived from a traditional practice by the people who used to live in elevated platform house called Sangdang, meaning platform.
As per statistics, almost 80% of the population, they are indulged with farming agriculture.
Mongbong is one of the most important festivals of the Sangtams. The predominant theme of the festival is the worship of the god of the house and three cooking stones in the fireplace. The festival is observed in the first week of September every year. The object is to have a good harvest, food grains for which the villagers toiled for the whole year.
The major festival in a calendar year, we have almost 12 festivals. But the most major festival is the Among Mung festival, which we celebrate during the first week of September, which which stays for almost 6 days. It's a harvest festival.
The Sangtams festival, with feasting, dance and music, built around the community life of the people. All the music and dance are concerned with food production, blessings and prosperity.
Basically, the theme, mostly about war song, victory, something, a song to be inspired before going to warfare. A man and a woman with the full traditional attire of our Sangtam community.
It's a wartime tradition, or a dance?
No, for women, that is for general, it's a general dressing. Yeah, yeah. But for the men, it's a warfare attire. We use Getnipin will be a distinct feature for our Kushin. Yes.
Tell us more about that Getnipin that you said. What it is.
Yeah, I can't. I can't elaborate much.
Society exists and grows without education of some kind. Nagas were no different. Each Sangatam village became solely responsible for its own economic, social, spiritual and political needs. Such needs required that the young be taught and trained within the village community. One such training center in Naga society was the Murung, Bachelor's Dormitory.
Koma matira nara na yuhi tanyite Sandam gunudi muchi majeba chongcha sena adoni le Sandam azira lanara namayura suro namti Nacho luchi hi yomeya Natsu roli mizi geso Namba yurati Nasha gishona Muchi shulam na yarode Nana arachan Muchi kalachan Namma yuratsa kanyansa Sanda madira lanara Namma yuratsu rolamte Natsu rojini yubeka Natsu rolimi zikeso
Now let's talk about the 5th edition of the Brillante Piano Festival happening in Bangalore on September 28th and 29th. This exciting event showcases talented pianists from across the world and features a mix of competitions, performances and educational workshops. For the first time, this renowned festival, originally from Nagaland and famous for its multi-genre piano competitions, it makes its way to the vibrant city of Bangalore. With the success of previous editions, this festival is now taking its international flair to new heights. Let's hear more from our Kohima correspondent, Asuno.
Nagaland's famed Brillante Piano Festival, known for its multi-genre piano competition, is stepping outside Nagaland for the first time to make its mark in the vibrant city of Bangalore. The first edition of the Brillante was held in 2017 at the Regional Center of Excellence for Music and Performing Arts in Zotsoma, Kohima. With the success of the previous editions, the festival has now made it through international. Let's hear from the festival director, Kyuchano TCK.
Brillante is all about awakening possibilities. It is about changing lives. It is about community impact. From the person to the family to the community, and to the nation through the transformative power of music. This year, for the first time, we're moving the entire festival from Nagaland to South India. Of course, this is our first launchpad debut as a whole festival. We are so grateful to all our partners, collaborators, and the fraternity of musicians and art lovers in Bangalore that has just openly just embraced our coming. Nagaland is known for our culture and music, and when we go to another state, we represent that. We don't just represent a music festival as such. We hope that we represent the best of Nagaland in music, in culture, and also in terms of entrepreneurship, because Brillante is an IP of Nagaland, and music has become a huge industry globally.
This year's festival will feature a series of programs over a full 2 days at two venues, the Prestige Center for Performing Arts and the Forum Mold.
We have very exciting and thrilling competitions. Initially, we began with just three, but now we have added three more other components to do with music production for Prodigy, as well as a contest for to see which is the fastest fingers for this year. So it's a competition called the Flying Ninja to determine the fastest fingers in the festival this year. So that is, we're trying to be as inclusive as possible to include a variety of performers, not just the formally educated people, but all types of people, aficionados, people who love music, to come and be a part of the celebration process. In the evenings, we have a lot of beautiful artists that have been planned to perform for the evening. We have our top artists, of course, from Hungary. We have a concert pianist who is a very well-known ambassador for music. His name is Marwan Ben Abdullah from Hungary, participating in the festival. We have Aman Mahajan, who is heading the jazz component. And one of our headlining artists is Lydian Nadeswaran. Lydian is a prodigy who is a global sensation, and he's the one who won the world's best pianist. We also hope to have our CM from Meghalaya, Conrad Sangma, to be performing as well during the event.
A 60-member group from Nagaland will attend the upcoming festival. Participations from 18 countries, including the Netherlands, Republic of Korea, France, Australia, India, will be performing. Additionally, there will be representatives from 16 Indian states, Maharashtra, Karnataka, Tamil Nadu, Uttar Pradesh, Chandigarh, West Bengal, Madhya Pradesh, Gujarat, Punjab, Delhi, Assam, Haryana, Telangana, Kerala, Goa, and Nagaland. The festival is expected to draw a footfall of about 20 lakhs and will be open from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. For North East Diary, this is Asunyo from Kohima.
Now let's turn our attention to a critical aspect of India's border management with its unique geographical positioning. India shares a staggering 15,000 kilometers of international land borders with seven neighboring countries, including Afghanistan, Bangladesh, China, and Pakistan. At the heart of this cross-border movement are the integrated checkposts, or ICPs, which facilitate the seamless transit of people and goods. The Land Posts Authority of India, established under the Ministry of Home Affairs, oversees these vital points of entry, ensuring they are equipped with state-of-the-art infrastructure. This initiative aims not only to streamline trade and travel, but also to enhance regional connectivity and foster people-to-people interactions. In an important development, the LPAI is also taking significant strides to promote inclusivity and safety, particularly for women and children. With about 2.5 million passengers crossing these ports annually, the LPAI has adopted a zero-tolerance policy towards discrimination and violence against women. Our Agartala correspondent joins us now with the latest on this crucial initiative.
The Land Port Authority of India has said that it will make sure that there will be no gender bias and discrimination in any of the offices across the country. Talking exclusively to Akashwani News, Member Finance of the Land Port Authority of India, Dr. Rekha Raikar said that land ports around the country will be given scores based on the facilities provided by them at the land ports with regard to women's safety. Likewise, the land ports will have to see whether there are mobile charger points at the facility to charge the cell phones in case the mobile battery of any woman passenger drains down completely. Besides, the land ports will also have to have the shuttle service for women passengers, given that the LPAs are situated far from the main cities and women employees or passengers do not face any kind of difficulties.
National Trade Facilitation Action Plan 2023 में ये बताया गया है कि आप सारे लैंड पोर्ट्स को जेंडर फ्रेंडली कीजिए, यानी कि जेंट्स और लेडीज इन दोनों में बिल्कुल भेदभाव नहीं होना चाहिए. जो भी पैसेंजर्स आएंगे जाएंगे यहाँ से या जो भी कार्गो मूवमेंट होगा उसमें आप जहां तक हो सके उसको अच्छा माहौल बना दीजिए. कम से कम 30% हमारा जितना भी वर्कफोर्स है, चाहे कस्टम्स का हो, इमिग्रेशन का हो, हेल्थ का हो, क्वारंटाइन का हो, बॉर्डर गार्डिंग फोर्सेस का हो या हमारा एलपीआई का खुद का हो, वो महिला होना जरूरी है. हम हर लैंड पोर्ट में एक पिंक रूम बना दे. क्या है ये पिंक रूम? ये पिंक रूम का कंसेप्ट ये है कि जहां जहां पैसेंजर्स आते हैं उनके लिए हम एक ऐसा रूम बनाएंगे जिसमें कि सारी सुविधा हो, सैनिटरी पैड वेंडिंग मशीन हो, एक हेल्थ एटीएम हो ताकि उनको जो भी ब्लड टेस्ट वगैरह कोई भी चीज करना है, शुगर चेक करना है, बीपी चेक करना है या उनका इंडिया में मैक्सिमम वीमेन एनीमिक रहती है तो उनका एनीमिक है कि नहीं ये चेक करना है, तो उसकी व्यवस्था हो जाए. और उसके साथ ही वहां पे एक क्रेश या लैक्टेटिंग रूम भी एडजॉइनिंग हो तो एक ही बार में उनको हम कंफर्टेबल, सेफ और रिसेप्टिव कर सकते हैं.
द सीनियर ऑफिशियल ऑफ द लैंड पोर्ट अथॉरिटी ऑफ इंडिया ऑल्सो सेड दैट अप्रूवल हैज बीन रिसीव्ड फ्रॉम द कैबिनेट कमिटी ऑन सिक्योरिटी टू मॉडिफाई 66 लैंड कस्टम स्टेशंस LCS in the country to land ports. The modification of these LCS to land port will immensely benefit in the trade and commerce activity. Besides, passenger movement with 7 neighboring countries like Pakistan, Afghanistan, Bangladesh, Myanmar, Bhutan, Nepal and China.
Presently, 15 locations pe land ports hai existing, jo ki 24/7 cargo aur passenger ka movement karte hai. Aur 66 land custom stations ko land port mein convert karne ke liye, मॉडिफाई करने के लिए कमिटी ऑफ कैबिनेट कमिटी ऑफ सिक्योरिटी ने अप्रूवल दिया है. तो इस तरह से ये जो ऑर्गेनाइजेशन है ये काफी बढ़ जाएगी और इसका मैंडेट है कि हमारी जो बॉर्डर्स है इनमें हमारे साथ जो नेबरिंग कंट्रीज है, देश है, उनके साथ अच्छे संबंध के साथ व्यापार और पैसेंजर्स का मूवमेंट करें.
द इनिशिएटिव्स अडॉप्टेड बाय द लैंड पोर्ट अथॉरिटी ऑफ इंडिया टुवर्ड्स वुमेन्स सेफ्टी, free from gender discrimination, cordial trade and commerce activity and seamless passenger movement will certainly inspire other major organizations to evolve with perfect measures to ensure safety, security and privacy of women folks. Kunal Shinde for Northeast Diary from Akashwani News, Agartala.
Termed as the land of blue hills and red river, Assam is the gateway to the northeastern states and has been aptly described as the sentinel of Northeast India. The state is adorned with beautiful lush covers of greenery, a chain of hills and rivers, mainly the Brahmaputra and the Barak. It has been the living place of various races, tribes and ethnic groups since time immemorial. The dynamics of synthesis and assimilation of the races make Assam glorified and rich. Our special correspondent, Regina S. Nair, shares her travel tales and experiences in Assam.
The beautiful northeastern state of Assam, shaped like a bird in flight on the Indian map, is the magical land of the rhinos and the great Brahmaputra River. It is a true window to the soul of the northeast as it reflects mesmerizing landscapes, rivers and beautiful tea gardens. It was a destination right on top of our bucket list and we grabbed an opportunity to visit the state. Our flight from Delhi to Guwahati took a couple of hours and on landing, we were spellbound by the greenery, beauty and the freshness that the river Brahmaputra added to the otherwise commercial and crowded port city of Guwahati. Globally, tea is synonymous with Assam and Darjeeling in the northeast and vice versa. And so, it's no surprise that since I am very passionate about Pai tea, I decide to begin my tour of Assam by first heading to Jorhat, the Mecca for tea lovers, often referred to as the tea capital of the world. We Indians love our chai so much that we are evidently the largest consumers of tea in the world and the second largest producers of tea globally. Even though the majority of this tea is grown primarily in the northeast regions of Assam and Darjeeling, it is Assam that is the largest tea cultivating state in India. However, if one was to look at the history of tea in India, it was the Britishers who introduced their love for tea to India. In the 18th century, drinking tea in large quantities became a very expensive habit for the Britishers, who were purchasing tea worth millions of pounds from China. These high costs led the Britishers to find ways to grow the plant in India. The story goes that in 1823, Robert Bruce, a Scottish explorer, discovered a local tea plant growing wildly in the upper Brahmaputra Valley that was being brewed by a native Assamese tribe. Though Robert died before he could get this plant officially classified, his brother sent the plant sample to the Botanical Garden at Calcutta, which was then classified as a variation of the Chinese tea plant. The Britishers initially felt that the Assam tea plant was inferior, but realized that this was the best version they could have, as the Chinese variety was unable to survive the hot climate of Assam. We loved the malty, orangish brew that Assam is famous for and downed cup after cup. To have the best tea, however, you must visit Assam from mid-May to June end, and even though tea is produced till early December, the quality isn't that good because of the changing weather. The scenic 5-hour drive from Guwahati to Jorhat was dotted with extensive tea gardens, giving us a strong and heady aroma of the tea plant. Our first stop was the Toklai Experimental and Research Center, the oldest and the largest tea research station of its kind in the world, that is constantly researching on discovering new varieties of tea and the healing effects of green tea. Jorhat is also famous for its annual tea festival held in November, offering tea lovers visits to the tea gardens, tasting varieties of tea, playing golf, jungle safaris, shopping and cultural activities. After tea, if there is something that Assam is known for the world over, it is the Kaziranga National Park, declared a UNESCO World Heritage Site in 1985, about 100 kilometers from Jorhat, and located in the Golaghat and Nagaon districts of Assam. This sanctuary, which has the largest number at over 2,000 of the famous endangered one-horned rhinoceros in India, and two-thirds of the world population, is the only natural home to the rare species. Other animals found in the park are tigers, elephants, wild buffaloes and deer. Because of the region's tropical weather, one can also spot pythons, reptiles, migratory birds and a variety of underwater life. I was very excited to see the rare one-horned rhinoceros and was told that to really absorb the magic of the sanctuary, I would have to be up and ready by 4 a.m., which I happily did despite a hectic travel schedule. The park is one of the most stunning and beautiful locales I have seen in Assam. The best time to visit is between November and April. The monsoons always flood the park and it remains closed to the public. The early morning sky was ablaze with the colors of the sunrise, and adding to that was the charm of the tall elephant grass spread across the marsh. We signed up for the elephant ride at 5 a.m. and had our mahouts waiting by the elephants to take us around. Jeep safaris are also available, but the elephant rides ensure a better view of the animals above the tall grass. It was a beautiful ride into the sacred homes of these animals, and we were lucky to spot the rhinos, some deer, wild buffaloes, and even a tiger from a distance. We went across the western and central ranges by elephant, and then did the eastern range by jeep, famed for its spottings of the Royal Bengal tigers. Authorized guides of the Forest Department accompanied us and kept us well informed. We spent the day at the park with our elephants, watching them play in the water with their young ones, and returned at sunset to our lodges. It was a truly majestic experience and one whose memory will last a lifetime. The history of the sanctuary dates back to the early 20th century, when the region was a thick jungle located in the heart of Assam, famed for its huge rhino population, where native tribes hunted and poached. In 1904, the wife of Lord Curzon, then Viceroy of India, visited the area and saw only hoof marks instead of real rhinos. The famous Assamese tracker Balaram Hazarika then told her about the need to conserve these animals. She apparently asked the Viceroy to do something to conserve these precious animals, and that's when Lord Curzon, in 1905, made the Kaziranga proposed reserve forest across 232 kilometers. After that exciting day at the park, we decided to visit the world's largest river-floating island of Majuli on the river Brahmaputra, about 20 kilometers from Jorhat. We took a ferry from Niyamati Ghat to the Kamlabari Ghat and enjoyed stunning views of the river as well as the island. Mud and wooden houses inhabited by tribes greeted us on arrival. Once over 60 monasteries were constructed on the island, of which only about 20 remain. We were able to watch some pottery and mask making by the natives and picked up some souvenirs for our loved ones back home. What better way to end this action-packed trip?
Borgi or celestial songs are special lyrical pieces set to specific melodies called ragas. These songs are originally composed by Srimanta Sankar Deva and Madhav Deva in the 15th and 16th centuries and are often sung at the start of prayer services in monasteries. You can also hear them in the broader music scene of Assam. Borgi is written in ancient Assamese, which combines elements of Maithili, Brajboli and local dialects. Now enjoy a beautiful Assamese war game performed by Mizi Gitashri. So friends, with that, we come to the end of this edition of Northeast Diary. Do join us next week to hear more stories from this enchanting part of India. Until then, goodbye.
This program was presented and produced by Vinita Thakur with assistance from Kumar Gaurav. It was brought to you by the News Services Division of Akashwani.